just quickly look at something very briefly here in Matthew 6. Verse 25, of course, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is life not more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" Amen. Skip down to verse 31. "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" Verse 34, "Take therefore no thought." You think he wants us to stop being concerned and worried and anxious? "Take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Amen. So, I remember being old enough to understand how things work in the world as a teenager, understanding that, you know, my parents had to work and earn an income and bring money home to pay the bills. And you know, somebody had to go out and actually buy groceries with money and so on. And I understood that that's the way our world currently works. Somebody has to earn money and spend money for there to be, you know, a roof over our head and food in the fridge and so on. Yet, even though I had that knowledge and that understanding, I never took any thought about whether or not there would be dinner on the table. And never. Thankfully, that's the kind of home I grew up in. That was our situation, our circumstance. I never had to take any thought, and I literally never took a thought. Never thought about it. Ever. That's what the Lord would have us do. To be in a place where we are so confident of who he has declared himself to be, so confident of who he has declared us to be within his kingdom, so very confident of the fact that he will always be true to his word, that we would not take any thought as to what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat, or what's going to happen tomorrow. Turn with me, or actually you don't have to turn there with me, because you probably pretty much know this chapter off by heart, Mark chapter 4. A passage that we're very, very familiar with. And for me, Mark 4, starting verse 35, was a passage that was very significant to me when Jamie and I were going through the trial of poverty that we were going through, especially when I finally made the decision that whether we live or die, I'm going to do it God's way. And I sure felt on many occasions like I was going to die. And I wish I could, you know, I'd read Matthew 6 and I'd meditate the scriptures and it says, take no thought. And I wanted to be that guy who took no thought. But I took thought all the time. You know, I remember thinking, Lord, if it was just me, this would be easier. I can go hungry. I don't like going hungry, but I could go hungry. I could easily, well, more easily, suffer through this unbelief of mine. Because I know you're not the problem, Lord. I know I'm the problem. So I'd more easily suffer through the lack if it was just me. And I thought even, you know, I wouldn't want to put this on Jamie, but, you know, if it was her and I going through it together, well, okay, but not the kids. Lord, not the kids. And, you know, it's not like they were very, very young, but they weren't very old either. 3-4 years ago, Becky would have been 10, Michaela would have been 12. And I didn't want them to suffer through any lack or loss. And certainly, I took a lot of thought. Are we going to lose the house? How is that going to impact them if we have to move to a bad part of town because that's all, you know, we don't have the means to live where we want to live. And believe me, there were bad parts of town where we were, where it would be more affordable, if you will. And I didn't want to, you know, have them come wake up in the morning and wonder where the car is. Why is it in the, did you leave it at the shop? Did it need to get repaired? Oh no, they came and towed away the car in the night. And or for them to wake up in the morning and say, I'm hungry. Why is there no milk in the fridge? For me, that was hell on earth. And that's why I took thought. What, Lord, what are we going to do? And worse than anything was this. I don't want my daughters to develop a view of God that would impact them for the rest of their lives. My parents served God. They laid everything out for him, and he was a liar. I didn't want them to get that in them. And so I took a lot of thought. I was very anxious. Jamie can tell you, there were countless occasions where the stress and the anxiety would so overcome me that it was a physical impact on my health. You know, to be sick with the worry. But all I could say was, Lord, you spoke a word. I'm going to be obedient to the word. You said that I was to trust you for the provision, that I was not to go into secular work. And whether we die or live, that's what I'm going to do. So Mark 35, we know Jesus has been ministering to the multitude. And Jesus, you know, even though he's tired and he's worn out, he looks to his disciples and he says, all right, let's get into the boat and let's go to the other side. Right? We know this story. And so for me, whenever I'd go through these moments of extreme anxiety, I would read through this passage over and over and over again. And I, like Gary says, I meditated it. He was talking about being in the desert till he could taste the sun, not in the desert, but seeing a battle, and he could taste the dust that was being kicked up by the soldiers fighting. Well, you know, I could be in the boat with Jesus and the disciples, and a storm kicks up. And the other disciples, I mean, they're not novices at being on the water. So when they were in fear, it's because they knew what was happening. They understood those waters better than most. And when they're saying, man, we're going to die, it wasn't because they were novices. They were veterans. It wasn't because, you know, they were scared of a few little waves. It was a serious storm. They were in fear. And so there I am. I'm in the boat, and I can feel the rocking. I can feel the splash of the waves, you know, and the water splashing me in the face, and I can taste the salt. I get a little seasick. I'm there. And I'm afraid, and I'm feeling the fear of my circumstances, the lack, and I'm there in the boat. But I'm looking at Jesus. What does Hebrews 12:2 say? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus, we're going to die. And you take no thought. You're at total peace, sleeping on a pillow. It's not because you're so tired that you don't know what's going on around you. It's because you're at peace. See, we know that Jesus never did anything unless he knew the Father told him to do it. So why was he going across to the other side? It's because the Father had told him to do so. And if God told him to do something, then it's going to be accomplished. God, the Father, said to go to the other side. So let's get in this boat and go to the other side. He knew they were going to make it to the other side. Didn't matter what came in between from, you know, point A to point B, they're going to make it. So Jesus, he's at peace, just lying there on this pillow. He's taking no thought. Me, I'm taking a lot of thought. So I'm just staring at Jesus. And at one point, you know, you meditated to the degree that you, okay, Jesus, I'm going to try to be like you. Can you scooch over a bit? And I'm going to lie on this pillow with you. And I saw myself lying down next to Jesus. He's resting. He's at peace. You know that deep breathing that you get when you're in a nice, peaceful sleep? That's Jesus. Me? I'm lying there. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Why does it work for you, not for me? But I would meditate this almost on a daily basis. And I'd actually be lying on the floor of my bed, of my office floor. Just lying there. But in my mind, I'm seeing myself next to Jesus. And I kept saying, Lord, I think we're going to die. But you don't. So I'm going to have to start trusting what you trust. And I just kept looking at Jesus, just seeing the peace in his face, until one day, something clicked on the inside of me. The peace that was in him became my peace. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Gary responded or shared this last night. He said, if you learn to tap into his faith, these are his words. If you learn to tap into his faith, you reckon your prayer life will change? I reckon my prayer life has changed. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, in that moment, I'm lying in the boat, and God and I both know I have no faith. Okay? I wasn't going to pretend anything. That I'm not going to pretend that having faith. I'm scared. And I'm not, you know, exaggerating. There were days I couldn't eat. Because there was no money. What are we going to do? Jesus, I'm going to have to rely on your faith. And that's when this scripture became so real to me. Because in that moment I realized whether I live or die won't be up to me, but it'll be up to him sleeping on that pillow. And when that reality filled my heart, that's the day everything changed for me. Hallelujah. That moment, I remember the moment when it happened. I got up off the floor. At that point, I was in the living room in the house we were living in. To go to the second floor, you'd go up 5 or 6 steps. There's a landing and then 5 or 6 more steps. And I remember making it to the landing and stopping and realizing the change that had happened in me. And listen, the circumstances are no different. It's different in me. And in that moment, I actually began to praise him from my heart for real, that it's changed. And I thank you, Lord, for what you've accomplished in me. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, I live in this life by the faith of the Son. Amen. Hallelujah. Ushers, please come forward. Doesn't matter what you're going through, take no thought for it. What does God's word say to you concerning the circumstance or situation you're facing, whether it's health, whether it's financial, whether it's where am I going to work, where am I going to live, or whatnot? Hallelujah. We can completely rely on him. Father, we just thank you for what you've done.